Acts of 2:38.
So last week, Jim Starnes asked a question, and I kind of paraphrase it here, and Jim, correct me if I get it wrong. If the husband dies with no children, and then the widow marries a brother, and they have no children, and he dies, then the marries the third brother, and they have a child, whose child is it? Remember we talked about the Levirate marriage, where if the first brother dies, the widow marries another brother, they have a child. That child actually goes back to the first brother. But this is a case where there's three brothers involved. So whose child would it be? Deborah, you had your hand up.
First son.
All right, we think it may be the first son. When you look at Genesis 38, we have an example of this. It's after the death of his older two brothers who had married Tamar. Judah refused to allow his third son to perform this obligation. Eventually, Judah himself unknowingly fulfilled the commandment when he had relations with Tamar and she had twin boys. Now, if you go to Matthew 1 and look at the genealogy of Jesus, you see that in verse 3, anybody need a pen if you're taking notes? I have pens. In Matthew 1, verse 3, it says, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. So it's showing Judah is the father. Also, Luke does the same thing in 3:33 when he's talking about the genealogy. He names Perez, which is one of the twin boys, the son of Judah. So they're taking it, Matthew and Luke in the genealogy is leaving it with Judah. They're not going back to the first son. I don't know what...
Because Judah was more powerful than his first child.
Exactly. So I don't know if that was the thing to do if the Levirate marriage was there a line where it goes null and void? I don't know. The closest example in the New Testament we have is in Matthew 22, when the Pharisees and Sadducees come to Jesus and said, and they list an example of seven brothers marrying the same girl, same wife, widow. Whose wife would she be in heaven? Jesus doesn't answer the question about the children. He answers the question about heaven and marriage. So that's the closest we have in the New Testament. Gary, can you think of another example that would clarify some of this? The story of Judah in Genesis 38 was the one I could find directly, and then the example in Matthew.
When his first child son died, his child was Perez or whatever the other.
They were twins.
Okay, yeah. So
Perez was the oldest, I think.
So in essence, he took the place of his dead father.
Perez did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Judah's oldest son's heir.
Okay.
So even though. Of course, everybody knew that Judah was the father.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Judah was the father.
Yeah, you talking about a rumor spreading through the camp. If you're not familiar with that, go back and read Genesis 38. I don't want to get into the details of it, but anyway. So that I know that really probably doesn't answer your question, Jim. Does it just make you more confused?
That's why the baby was
right. Yeah.
I don't know what you hadn't asked.
As we get into chapter 4, there is a process that a relative could go through if they do not want to marry the widow. It involves taking off a shoe and spitting in someone's face. We'll get to that in chapter 4. And just briefly, has anyone ever heard the relationship of Naomi and Ruth in a way that's different than what it is?
Yeah.
What have you heard it listed as?
I've heard.
Go ahead.
It was a lesbian relationship.
Yeah. LGBTQTYXYZ people consider it could be in a lesbian relationship, and they base that on, you know what they base it on, Gary? Have you heard? I mean, have you talked to them or anything? What I was able to find out, they used the word cleave, in Ruth 1 and Genesis 2, and the original word is Dabak or something, D-A-B-A-Q. And they use that to show the example of Adam and Eve's relationship was the same as Naomi and Ruth's relationship. Problem is that Hebrew word is used 54 times. It means stick, stay close, keep close, stick to, stick with, follow closely, join in, overtake, and catch. Just because people become one flesh, as the lesbians claim, does not give it a biblical prudence. And of course, we have examples in 1 Corinthians about joining with prostitutes. You have to put the words in context. Dabak can mean covenant marriage in Genesis, and it means a family covenant in Ruth. And we also know that both Ruth and Naomi were married at one time and had children. So anyway, hopefully that wipes that out. But some people have not ever heard that before. Actually, I have read that in several different things. So any questions, comments? All right, book of Ruth, chapter 2. Boaz was not mentioned in chapter 1, and Ruth doesn't even know he exists, but once he is introduced, things take off. I've given you an outline of chapter 2, living in faith, living in grace, and living in hope. Last week, when we left off, Naomi and Ruth had arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. That's in chapter 1, verse 22. What time of the year was the barley harvest? And Wayne alluded to part of it last week. You remember what you said?
Yeah, it was probably near Nisan 1.
Nisan 1.
Yeah, that was
8. Oh. What would we can think of it as?
The vernal equinox.
You actually said it last week.
April.
Yeah. It's actually late spring, March, and first part of April. You said last week it was around Easter.
Which would be
correct. But it was in late spring, March or April.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes, sir.
Jan has lost her telephone. Did anybody see a phone?
Did you call it?
Did you call it?
Who would think of that?
I'll call it.
We'll try that. I just thought somebody might have turned one in here before. Pink one, so thank you.
I'm calling him.
No problem. March or April, and it was followed by wheat harvest, which was began the third week of April and went to the second week of June. So it was late spring when they returned to Bethlehem. Who would like to read verses 1 through 4 to get us started? Okay. Elimelech.
Yes.
Elimelech.
Whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of
Elimelech.
Okay. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you," and he answered, "The Lord bless you."
Okay. So our first question is, how was Naomi and Boaz related? Do we know how they were related? Verse 1 says kinsmen are a relative, but how do we know they were related? Or what was the relation? Boaz was probably a nephew of Elimelech, which was Naomi's late husband, and making him a cousin of Ruth's first husband. We think that was the relationship.
That would be the closest relationship.
Yeah, with no more sons. Yep. So what kind of person is Boaz? If we were to pay for a dossier, what would his dossier say?
He's a muckety-muck.
It's not in Scripture. We're just thinking.
Apparently it was a good thing because he let kind of the slaves go back into the fields and gather the what was left over.
Yeah, and we're going to talk, the glean and the all that sort of stuff.
That's
yeah, he loves God. He loves his fellow man. He's wealthy. He's a big landowner. He's kind. And he's single. And as someone said, he's the most eligible bachelor in Bethlehem. So
he was a wise man.
He was a wise man. And I've also heard, Gary, that if those wise men were kings, they probably had an entourage up to 100 people each. So,
which is why Herod didn't have them killed.
So anyway, just a little side point. So as Ruth went out to glean for the first time, who did Ruth say she would follow while gleaning grain?
Anyone whose eyes she found
favor.
Huh?
No, she didn't know anybody except Naomi. Yeah. She's on. So.
Besides that, she was a Moabitess, and nobody would have talked to her either.
Exactly. And that's what makes the story so good in the end. So what was gleaning in the book of Ruth? Someone explain what that is?
That's what they had left over after they cut. Just falls to the ground, and they don't sweep it up or rake it up.
It was part of tradition to leave some for those that were poor, needed food, and they could go and pick up the gleanings.
Yep. Poor people were allowed to follow after the men who harvested a field. These gleaners picked up sheaves of grain that the harvesters missed or dropped. In this way, poor people were able to find some food.
Probably also the lepers.
And people traveling by, I mean, there's a lot of people that probably would take advantage of that. Ruth is not afraid to work, even menial work. Her new job was menial, tiring, and probably degrading, yet it was done faithfully and diligently. Whose field was Ruth gleaning in?
Boaz.
What greeting did Boaz give to his workers? And how did they respond? May the Lord bless you. Any questions on 1-4? Who has verses 5-13?
Okay.
Luke.
Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? The foreman replied, she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the fields where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about you, have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls.
Okay. So what did Boaz want to know about Ruth, verse 5?
Who is that?
Yeah, a little bit. He wanted to know a little bit about her.
Who's
your daddy? Either Boaz was asking about Ruth's husband, or he was asking about her parents or current guardians. So like we said, he didn't know her, she didn't know him at the time. So apparently she made an impression on him, and he wanted to find out a little bit more about her. Why was he asking about her situation? Why would he even ask about her?
She caught his eye.
Yeah, but there's...
No, there's a stranger. He recognized all the people that worked for him.
Right.
There's a stranger, and I'm sure she was separated from those that worked for him. And he, I mean, if somebody's in your yard, you would know who they are.
Okay. But what, and you're right, but what was the culture at this time with women, men and women, particularly if they were not married to each other?
If there's a single woman floating around, she's fair game.
But he didn't know that, though. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Yeah, I had two. I thought the first one was that she was probably young and attractive.
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
Yeah. Was that she was a hard worker.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good catch.
Yeah, really. A girl would never be independent, so he wants to seek information on her husband or her father or her master. Boaz was a gentleman. It would have been improper for him to address her directly. He doesn't want to infringe on the rights of any man in her life. So he was just like, you know, he was being a gentleman. He was trying to treat her as possibly someone else's wife, or at least, you know, her dad, her father was probably still around. But, and that's the reason he was asking about her. You know, what's this girl's situation? So he just kind of checking on the rest of her. So in verse 7, a short rest in the shelter or hut is a reference to what? It talks about, you know, taking a break in the hut or shelter in the field. What are they talking about? Yeah, probably a shady place. It may have been an actual hut or building, so they could go in and rest, take a break, drink water, as they talked about. So, what instructions did Boaz give Ruth concerning her gleaning?
Stay there.
Stay there. Don't go anywhere else. It says, stay and work in my field with my woman workers. Why did he tell her that?
He didn't want to keep track.
Yeah, he didn't want her to get away, did he?
Well, he also didn't want any harm to come to her as soon as he found out who she was.
Right. And
he only had control over those men.
Right. Finding out who she is, he immediately goes into protective mode. He could not guarantee her safety in anyone else's field. An unprotected young widow would be fair game. So yeah, it was to protect her, and of course he had. At this point, we don't know, but we don't have any signs yet that he's got an interest in her other than a hard worker. But that will change. So why did Boaz refer to Ruth as my daughter?
She's a lot younger than he was.
Yeah, but why did he say that? They weren't related. Not Ruth, not Boaz and Ruth. Yeah, Boaz referred to Ruth as my daughter in somewhere.
Protection? Yeah, would that tell the rest of the people there that he was going to look after like a daughter?
That could have been part of it. But in the culture, this was a kind way of addressing a younger woman.
Respectful.
It was respectful, yeah. It just, this is sort of how you address people.
She called him Lord.
Yeah, which not necessarily means God Lord, but why would people call other people Lords back then?
Title, it's Mr.
Yeah, title of respect and title of, he had authority.
He could have ordered her off his field.
Absolutely.
What did Moses, whose wife called him Lord?
Yeah.
I brought that up wrong. Didn't go
well, huh?
We don't need any more.
Rhonda, do you have a 14-inch cast iron skillet?
So why did Boaz tell the men not to lay a hand on Ruth? We've touched on it just a minute ago. Do what, Margaret?
He might be saving her for himself.
Yeah, but not at this point. He hasn't yet. Do what, Tiffany? He didn't want her to be harmed. Yeah, he was a gentleman. The men were not to harm Ruth. There's two possible meanings. One is, of course, not physically harm her, and the men were not to stop her from gleaning in his field. So if they saw her gleaning, and they could have run her out, or if they think they could have run her out. So he was telling the men, leave her alone. Don't touch her physically or any other way. Leave her alone. Let her do her thing.
And we've got to remember, love at first sight did not start in the 20th century.
But there were protocols they had to go through back then that's different than today. And Boaz is going through that protocol. You know, he's asking about her. Is she married? Is she living at home? Do I need to go talk to her father? You know, on down the list. So after receiving the favorable instructions, what question did Ruth ask Boaz? Go ahead.
Why do I find favor with you?
Yeah, why have I found favor in your sight, some translations would say.
Why did you even notice?
Yeah, why are you treating me so well when you don't know me? We're not related. You know, why? And what good deed of Ruth had Boaz heard about? Verse 11. Yeah, how well she had treated Naomi. When she could have, like we talked about last week, she could have gone back to Moab and been with her folks, but she decided to stay.
Naomi couldn't have done this work.
Naomi was too old. She could not do this work.
Ruth was the one doing the work and taking, in essence, feeding Naomi.
Right. Naomi would have just been kind of helpless. She would have been sort of helpless. The advantage would be she had family there, but we don't know if they would have taken care of her. But yeah, Ruth was basically the breadwinner, or the grain and wheat make bread, so she would be the breadwinner, right?
I've seen some situations where the daughter-in-law took care of the mother even when the children wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
The daughter-in-law just stepped in and did it.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. Going beyond what they would normally be considered have to do.
My sister-in-law does that.
Luke's sister-in-law did that with his mother.
Yeah.
She was there in town and took care of her cancer.
Yeah.
It was really rough.
Yeah. So, under whose wings did Boaz say Ruth had found protection?
Lord's.
God's wings, or Lord's wings. Boaz uses the picture of a mother bird gathering her chicks under her wings to protect them, in order to describe God's protection for those who trust in Him. Any other comments about verses 5 through 13? Bob, you drew the long straw. We got verses 14 through 23.
Okay. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her, but bundles, and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she'd eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today was Boaz. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added that this man is our close relative. He is one of the kinsmen redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until I finished harvesting all the grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It would be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girl, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to clean until the barley
and the harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
Okay, thank you. So what additional favor did Boaz show to Ruth when they returned to work after mealtime? And the mealtime was probably noon, so heat of the day. They went to the shed, took a break, ate lunch, came back out. What additional favor did Boaz show to Ruth?
Told them to drop some extra stalks.
Yeah, commanded the reapers to pull out sheaves for her from the bundles and deliberately leave them for her.
She probably worked behind the other servant girls.
She was probably the last one.
Or close to the last. That's why he tells her, even if she gets closer or in front or to the side, don't rebuke her. Don't tell her to get back there and wait till everybody else goes through.
Yeah. There was probably a pecking order.
Yeah.
Seniority type of thing, and she was probably at the very end, so she was not getting as much as some of the others were. And Boaz is saying, leave her alone, let her get whatever she can. So when Naomi saw the large amount of grain that Ruth brought back, what question did she ask?
Where in the world were you today?
Yeah, where'd you get this? Naomi said almost the same thing in two different ways to show that she was very interested in knowing. Because she said, where have you gleaned today and where did you work? So it's the same question, kind of two different ways. In verse 20, Naomi reminds Ruth that Boaz is a close relative. Why was this mentioned for the third time?
Clarity.
Yeah. What does it mean in the Bible when someone repeats the same thing multiple times?
Emphasis.
Yeah, it's important. Pay attention. So Naomi is telling Ruth, hey, this guy is a relative. So that's, take note of that.
Get his phone number.
Yeah. If you can find your phone. So in verse 20, what was a guardian redeemer? Now, there's some translation differences here. English Standard Version and the New American Standard says redeemers. King James says kinsman, and Amplified Version said someone who redeems us. So I'm going to use all three words, guardian, redeemer, and kinsman, but they all mean basically the same thing. So what was a guardian, redeemer, kinsman? What was their responsibility?
That says that they were responsible for protecting the interest of needy members of the extended family, provide an heir for a brother who died, to redeem land that a poor relative had sold outside the family, to redeem a relative who'd been sold into slavery, to avenge the killing of a relative.
Okay, and I've given you that as a kind of bullet points there, right? Have y'all got that as bullet points?
Yes.
So, the guardian, redeemer, kinsman is a male relative who, according to the various laws of the Pentateuch, had the privilege or responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, danger, or need. They were also responsible to practice Levirate marriage, which would rescue a childless widow from financial ruin by marrying her and having a child with her. He would also reacquire the land his relatives had lost due to poverty and redeem family members who had sold themselves into slavery. So it's pretty high responsibility, wasn't it? What did Naomi wish for Boaz when she heard that Boaz had helped Ruth? Verse 20. What did Naomi wish for Boaz when she heard that Boaz had helped Ruth?
The Lord bless him.
Yeah, wanted God to bless him. Bless him. And Naomi was asking God to reward Boaz for his kindness to Ruth and herself, because she was reaping the benefits of this too. To whom did Naomi attribute the good things that were now happening to her? Verse 20 again.
The Lord.
To whom did God attribute? Who did Naomi attribute the good things were happening? That was God. Going back to last week, who or whom did Naomi blame for all the bad things that had happened to her? I'm sorry?
God.
Yeah, she was blaming God for the bad things, and now she's attributing the good things to God. So, playing both ends, I guess.
Hey, God has broad shoulders.
Think he handled it well?
Yeah.
every once in a while, you know, me and Jennifer, she'll have to, she's trying to get out of something and she'll blame me. Or vice versa. And we always say, oh, I got broad shoulders. I can handle it this one time.
Yeah, really.
She also realized the power that God had in her life.
Yeah.
What was it? Job said, will I receive good only from the Lord and not evil?
Mm-hmm. It's just fun, it's just ironic that last week we was talking about Naomi. She was blaming God for all this bad stuff. Her husband had died, her sons had died, and now she's going to have to leave and go back to Bethlehem. But now she's thanking God for providing or having Boaz treat them so well. So.
But she might also have said that the Lord turned against me because she went into
Moab. Yeah, and we talked about that some last week. So why did Naomi think it was good for Ruth to work with Boaz's women, Boaz's women workers, or female workers?
The same thing that Tiffy said, she wanted to harm.
Yeah. Ruth would not come to harm in any field. Possible meanings are, number one, other workers might abuse Ruth or try to seize her and sleep with her. We're talking about the male workers, of course. Number two, in another field, the owner might interfere or stop her from gleaning until the end of the harvest. So it could have ran her out. Others would have, you know, told her, you know, leave. Don't, you know, you're not welcome here. And stolen what she did have. Yeah. And 21, what did Ruth do for the rest of the barley harvest? She worked. Ruth worked in Boaz's fields with his workers during the day so she would be safe and went to Naomi's home to sleep at night. Any comments or questions about Ruth chapter 2?
Again, it reminds us that we don't always know what the big plan is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And is that true today?
Oh, yeah.
Lord, yes. This very day.
Yeah. Goes along with your communion thoughts to some degree. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what the end of the plan is.
We want to know the final chapter.
I heard someone teaching a class on Isaiah, and I've said this before, but his point of all the prophecies in Isaiah was the point of the prophecies is not to tell us the exact path, but in the end it will be okay.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. We know it's going to be okay. We have to have
it doesn't tell you, doesn't tell us how we're going to get there. It just tells us we're going to get there.
That's right. When you're there, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And if not, kind of comes to me, one day we're going to pass the pearly gates and we're going to be okay. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
It's going to be just
if
massive revelation.
If we recognize God's hand in our life today, though.
Yeah, but we don't sometimes see it.
We don't look for it because it's there.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of concluded with 4 points. Boaz has been compared to a type of Christ who is kind toward us, has shown us favor, protects us, and provides for us. Exact things that Boaz showed Ruth, of course, the Lord shows us or provides for us. Any final thoughts? You're going to get out early again today, so one of these days I'm going
to
keep you way late.
So. <Good job.
laughs> Any other comments or questions? Thank you.
Recognize how strange this was for Ruth.
Yeah.
This was not how her life would have been back in Moab.
No. Because
she wouldn't have done this kind of work. She'd have remarried somebody else. And she just wouldn't have had to do all this.
Had a life of Riley, as we would say, to some degree. So next week we'll look at chapter 3, and that's where the story really kind of starts get going. We'll see the relationship with Ruth and Boaz and what happens. So
this turning point also begins for us to recognize the hope that now is fostered in Naomi.
Yeah.
And that will spread to all the people she has influence over.
Exactly. Yep. So thank you for your comments. Y'all have a great week. Stay safe.